everybody. Bill Buckmaster back in the saddle with you, and Tom Fairbanks engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass. Tom, it is far too early. It's the end of April. Not even really, kind of the middle of April. And we had a wildfire in Bisbee that I guess is pretty much now under control. But the situation in Flagstaff is truly awful. Huge columns of smoke, evacuations. It's just a mess.
Over 16,000 acres have burned.
Wow.
Since last night.
Yeah, wind driven. Here we go again. But then again, what do you expect when we were in, what are they saying, a drought that rivals like 1,200-year drought or something? I mean, that we haven't seen anything like this in 1,200 years.
And can we say that we're sort of in wildfire country?
Yeah.
Even though people may not like it?
Yeah, that's it. Anyway, it is the Buckmaster Show. It's midweek edition. We are the 20th of April, 2022, our 12th year on the radio here in Tucson with the radio show, and 34th year on TV and radio, our program broadcast from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. The radio station is 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. The call letters KVOI, The Voice. Worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. Our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We will utilize now in the first two segments of the show our live line with Will Humble. Will is the Buckmaster Show contributor on public health. Will is a longtime public health enthusiast. He's currently the executive director for the Arizona Public Health Association. His 40 years in public health include more than two decades at the Arizona Department of Health Services, where he served in various roles, including as director from 2009 to 2015. Will, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing just good. How are you?
Doing well. And, you know, starting with, I was mentioning at the top of the show, Will, the situation in Flagstaff. It is just it's not a healthy situation to be breathing wood smoke.
Oh, and that's the biggest problem with these wildfires in terms of when they cause evacuations, is because, you know, the direct threat from a wildfire coming to your house is a pretty localized area. But when the winds, when you get one of these big plumes out there, the wind can go for tens and twenties of miles and cause smoke so thick that you have to evacuate. And it's also unpredictable because the wind can shift, and we'd have situations where we're doing air monitoring in somewhere like Holbrook, and the air quality is terrific, and then the wind shifts and it's totally unhelpful. So the smoke plumes make things really difficult to manage the health messaging and urging people, you know, whether they should leave or stay.
Yeah, it is just not a good situation. And again, it's so early in the year. We hopefully will get some pretty good summer rains like we did last year, but certainly can't count on that. I was just looking at the weekly numbers. The Arizona Department of Health now, as you know, Will Humble, releases weekly numbers on COVID-19 instead of daily. These numbers for Pima County are very encouraging, Will. 212 cases over a week. And as far as I can tell, that's about as low as we've been in a very, very long time, Will.
Right, since the beginning. And
yeah.
Equally important, if not more importantly, there's very few, if any, new hospitalizations coming in. I mean, there's people in the hospital still with Delta infections that they got back in December, January, or whatever, but very few new inpatient hospitalizations. No, we're in a good state. We're in a good place in Pima County and really statewide.
The confusion now with the mask mandate now going away because of what a federal judge said in Florida on Monday. The New York Times quoted one of the epidemiologists who works at the University of Texas Health Science Center in Houston saying, we are doing a really terrible job of communicating risk. It's almost like this latest situation with the mask is emblematic, Will, of this whole pandemic and the messaging through this 2 years plus into this thing.
Well, I mean, you are absolutely right. And one of the problems has been that throughout this, there's been not very many credible sources from institutions that have general trust. We had such, you know, divergent conversations and recommendations coming from CDC, Health and Human Services, the various surgeon generals. And then you combine that with all the confusion that happens because of social media, and you get a situation where, and we've talked about this on the show before, that some of the loudest and least responsible voices during this pandemic have accumulated the most followers. And, you know, and the more dramatic you get on social media, the more followers you seem to get. And that means going to either extreme. I pride myself on being pretty square in the middle. But yeah, I don't see that this, that dropping the mask requirement on transportation is a terrible problem. I mean, some of my colleagues think it's the end of the world, and some think this is a, you know, we're setting ourselves up for some big catastrophe, but I just disagree. I think the timing is about right. I do think that it is important for courts to examine the decisions that agencies make under their authority that there's given to them by Congress, so that we know the limits of what that authority is. And that's why I hope the Biden administration appeals the ruling from that central court in Michigan, not because I think the mask requirement should come back on transportation during COVID, but rather we need to know now what the limit of CDC's statutory authority is, so that Congress, so that if their authority doesn't extend to masking on transportation, that Congress knows that and can go back and fix the CDC's enabling statutes.
So did I hear you say, you said Michigan, you mean Florida, right, on the appeal?
Oh, did I say Michigan? No, yeah. Middle District of Florida. Yeah.
But, yeah, so I hear you saying this is very important just to kind of set the parameters. Is that what you're saying to for the Biden administration to appeal this?
Yeah, I think they need to appeal it because they have to set the stage and get a clear understanding of what the CDC's existing statutory authority is. So that if we have a pandemic in 5 years, that we're not still in this ambiguous zone about can CDC require masks on transportation or can't they? See what I mean? Like, it needs to finish its process through the federal court system, maybe even going to the U.S. Supreme Court, so that everybody, especially Congress, has the information they need so that they say, okay, we know the boundaries of CDC's existing authority. Now we know whether we need to fix it or whether they don't have enough critical mass to fix it. But at least we know what the boundaries are to CDC's statutory authority. And that needs to be established before the next pandemic comes.
And like everything else with this, it's been pretty much divisive and split down the middle. I think the latest polling shows maybe slightly more people would have favored keeping the mask requirement, but there are those that are jumping for joy that it's gone away, but there are others who are really angry and think it's an important health thing. For those folks, they can wear a mask on the plane. There's nothing that says they can't. How protective would, say, an N95, if somebody's wearing it in the airport still and on the plane, how protective would that be if a lot of other people aren't, Will?
Yeah, so that you hit the nail right on the head. So for people that are immunocompromised or have other underlying conditions that really want to make double sure that they're, you know, protected, whether it's on a, you know, a commuter train or a bus or an aircraft, make sure you wear an N95, KN95, KF94 mask, and make sure that it's tight fitting, because it only works if you go around your face and make sure that the seal is nice and tight. That's the only way that those N95 masks work, is they have to be really tight and they have to have a good seal. That's what, you know, people, the nurses and doctors that are in the hospitals have been doing for the last 2 years, is using N95s in those environments, and they always make sure they have a nice tight seal. So it's not just wearing an N95 mask. It's wearing one that's tight fitting and that you've checked to make sure that it's sealed on the edges.
Will, it's time to talk about my favorite bakery in town. Could you go for something sweet right about now, Will?
Actually, I don't have much of a sweet tooth, but I would right now.
You would? What are you in the mood for? Some kind of a croissant, chocolate croissant? Sound good?
Yeah, with like that Italian filling, you know, that's not too sweet. You know,
sure.
I don't know what it's called exactly.
Well, I think I can recommend what you're looking for. That would be a bear claw with that beautiful almond paste. It does not have kind of that lingering aftertaste. It's very clean. And that is from Mona's Danish Bakery, Will, home of the Danish Kringle. Open right now for lunch, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Mona's Danish Bakery opens for breakfast, 6:30 in the morning, Tuesday through Sunday. Their website will very much tempt you with all those beautiful pictures of pretty much everything on the menu. We'll have more with Will Humble. Will is the executive director of the Arizona Public Health Association. Be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Discover your world inside Biosphere 2. Explore living, breathing scientific research. Using the new Biosphere 2 Experience app, you can now explore one of the wonders of the world's amazing 30-year history and future through never-before-seen videos and photos. Visit today at info@biosphere2.com. buckmaster.org.
Welcome back. It is Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Perfect time of year to go over to Green Things, their 13-acre site, chock full of everything you could imagine for your garden, and some beautiful things from Zocalo Village, much of them handcrafted from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. Green Things, in their 51st year, open daily, and Zocalo Village right there on site. It's greenthingsaz.com. Take care of all of your late spring gardening needs right now at Green Things. And we are on the in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We go back on the live line for our monthly conversation with Will Humble, the executive director of the Arizona Public Health Association, the former director of the Arizona Department of Health. Why was it important, or is it important, in your opinion, that the Secretary of Health extend a public health emergency until mid-July? What is that all about, Will?
Yeah, so the federal, as you know, the governor dropped the state public health emergency. I have no problem with that at all. But the Secretary of Health and Human Services extended the federal public health emergency through mid-July. There are several things that are in, for example, the state Medicaid program, here we call that Access, that are important to give some warning on before you drop the public health emergency. So, for example, in our state Medicaid program, Access, persons who have their health insurance through Access have not had to go through redetermination during the federal public health emergency. So they may have had changes in income that may make them normally eligible or not eligible, but all of those redeterminations have been suspended during the federal public health emergency. And what President Biden has said is that he's going to give everybody 60 days notice before the federal public health emergency ends. And what that does is give state agencies like Access the kind of time that they need to make sure that they have all the addresses for all of their enrollees, so that when they start redetermining based on income, that they'll get quick answers from everybody, and people don't get unnecessarily dropped. Likewise, a lot of the things in the federal public health emergency had to do with what private health insurance has to cover during the federal emergency, and they need to have enough warning time so that they adjust their processes and their claims processes, and have the time that they need to make those adjustments before the federal emergency ends. So I do fully expect that it's going to end in mid-July, and we'll probably hear by within a few weeks here, we'll get notice from the federal government that, in fact, it will be ending in mid-July. And I think that's an appropriate time to end it. You know, it's important when you've got a public health emergency like this that you start it at an appropriate time, but it's also important that you end it. Emergencies don't go on forever. And yes, there are certain pleasurable things that, you know, things within the law that executive branch people like to continue to have that authority. But when the emergency ends, it should end. And I think mid-July is a good time to end it.
And is that one of the reasons why these shots, the COVID shots, have been picked up by the government, paid the cost of them?
Yeah, and that's right. The fact that the vaccines and the testing, especially the vaccines, was free and widely available was also part of the federal public health emergency. And, you know, by mid-July, you know, I think we can go back to a normal system where people get their vaccine within their medical home using their normal health insurance, whether that's Medicaid, Access, private health insurance, VA, Medicare, all of those different combinations. It really is time to start transitioning to business as usual. And that's what you're going to see over the next 2 or 3 months.
I had my second booster. I mixed it up. I had had 3 Moderna, and I went for a Pfizer just because maybe it would give me a little extra boost. What do you think about that?
Well, you did what's called mix and match.
Yeah.
It's fine what you did. There's nothing wrong with it. It'll provide you good protection. Just so that listeners know, there is 3 times the amount of messenger RNA in the Moderna vaccine when compared to Pfizer. So that 4th vaccine that you got had a little bit less messenger RNA in it than your first 3 Moderna shots. But that doesn't mean you did anything wrong. You're going to get a boost just like everybody else. But the Pfizer had a little bit less in it than the Moderna.
Let's talk about the state legislatures. You're following what's been going on up there. And I know last month you gave us an overview on some of the health issues. There are a couple that are very troubling to you.
Well, a couple bills went to the governor's desk just yesterday. So those were passed by the full House and the full Senate. One of those is more of a nuisance, and one is more troubling. One of the bills that has been sent to the governor's office, and I'm certain he's going to sign it, is a bill that would prohibit cities and counties from ever requiring people to take the COVID-19 vaccine. The bill is really a poke in the eye to the city of Tucson and Pima County, who you will recall earlier in the pandemic required city and county employees to get vaccinated for COVID-19. And that part of it's over. So it's a bill that's designed to say, Tucson, you shouldn't have done that. But I don't see it as a huge issue because the bill is limited to COVID-19. I don't see that it has big implications, but it was one of those bills that the legislature sends in terms of sending a message. The other bill I think could potentially be harmful that just got sent to the governor earlier this week, and that is one that would say in schools, let's say K-12 system, when during the next pandemic, if we ever have another pandemic that is, you know, where masks are an important public health intervention, it would say to those school districts, you cannot require your students to wear masks in the classroom unless you've got a written permission slip from the parent or guardian from that kid. And the reason that that is a bad idea is because the kinds of masks that kids wear in classrooms, they don't wear N95 masks. They wear regular cloth and surgical masks. And the only way that those masks really work is if everybody in the classroom is wearing the mask. Those masks are good at stopping particles from leaving kids' mouths, but they're not terrific filters of air coming in. And so you've got to have all the kids wearing the mask while they're indoors, not on the playground, but while they're indoors if it's going to be an effective intervention. And as soon as the governor signs it, which I'm sure he will, that will mean whenever we have another pandemic, and maybe you won't be doing broadcasting and maybe I won't be still doing public health by then, but whoever's in these jobs at that point won't be able to use universal masking as a tool to keep schools open.
Hey, let me ask you, Will, the lineage on the BA2, we keep having variants that are part of the BA2 family. That's kind of a good thing, isn't it, that it's still in that particular, in one particular family?
Oh, yeah, it's still an Omicron virus that hasn't changed demonstrably. It's a little bit more contagious than the original BA1 version of the Omicron. It's consistent with what we have seen over the last 2 years with this virus, is that what we have continued to see are small changes in the protein code of the virus over time, but not big giant leaps of change like you see in some other viruses, like the influenza virus, for example. That's the kind of virus where you see a big, maybe 10 or every 10 or 15 years, you see a big giant change in the protein coat. Remember the H1N1 being different from H5N1 and others. So this is a virus that changes slowly over time, which is actually a good thing because it means that the antibodies in the T cells, our immune system continues to recognize the new versions of the virus. And that's why, you know, the vaccines that we all are taking to the ancestral strain from 2 years ago still protect us against the kinds of infections that might send us to the hospital.
And we're still getting very few, relatively few people that are getting boosted, aren't we?
Well, we had a fair number of folks that, well, you are right about that. However, I will say that for people over 70, the number of folks that have gotten that third dose, that third booster, is actually pretty good. Not perfect, but pretty good. And, it, you know, the number of folks that have gotten that fourth dose, we don't really know yet. But remember, Bill, and this is important, that, you know, for the persons who didn't get that booster shot right before, you know, the holidays, Christmas and New Year's, Omicron was just running rampant at that time. And the persons who chose not to get vaccinated at all, virtually all of them were infected with the Omicron variant. They might not know it. They might not have had symptoms, but they were infected and they built antibodies and T cells against the virus. And likewise, a lot of folks that might have had two doses but not that booster shot may have had a mild case of Omicron and didn't know it. And, you know, in a sense, getting an infection is kind of a booster shot.
Yeah,
it really is.
Yep.
Okay. It challenges your immune system.
All right, Will, good checking with you. Be with you next month. Thank you very much.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock-full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Time to talk travel on the Buckmaster Show with our travel contributor, Ryan Hansen. We love to bring in Ryan to the Buckmaster Show. He's the president and chief operating officer of Bon Voyage Travel, Arizona's premier travel agency since 1976. The Bon Voyage Travel experts standing by right now. They are willing and able and ready to create your trip of a lifetime. There are three Southern Arizona Bon Voyage offices, River and Campbell, Green Valley and Oro Valley, bvtravel.com. Your first stop in making your travel dreams come true. And Ryan, it's great to see you. The last time I saw you was early April at the very successful travel show.
It was great having you there. I think you and I had a great time sharing a stage talking about top destinations and travel trends and what we found, and I think you interfaced and mingled with some of the people that were attending the show. Yep. Is tremendous demand. People are excited to get back out. They're excited to travel. And we've seen a lot of bookings come from that travel show. So those aforementioned advisors that you talked about, mm-hmm. boy, they're the rock stars of our agency, right? In any business, you look at who are the people that really make it hum. It's our travel advisors. It's their expertise. It's their ability to touch on things that you don't even know about. Plus all the things that you sit there and say, well, now what do I have to deal with? I know we'll get into
this in regards to
protocols and COVID situations domestically, internationally. So having that advisor at your fingertips, why wouldn't you want to do that for an investment like a vacation? And we're seeing tremendous response.
It has been one of the probably few silver linings of COVID. It has been a real renaissance for your business. And because information is power, and because a trip is an investment, you need the latest information.
Yeah, and when you start looking on your own, what I think you will find, you found it yourself, I as well. Mm-hmm. It's overwhelming, the amount of information that you have at your fingertips as an individual traveler. So trying to disseminate what pertains to you. Am I missing something? What is the ruling and the protocols today? What could be in the future? And understanding all of the verbiage. There's just a lot of different words out there that you and I were never really talking about mm-hmm. in the world of travel in regards mm-hmm. to fully vaccinated.
Sure.
What does that actually mean in the world of travel? It's one thing to talk about, I don't need a mask to go to the, and we'll talk about masks, mm-hmm, to go mm-hmm. to the grocery store in Pima County. I haven't needed that for quite a bit now. But if I'm going to be traveling internationally now, if I get stuck somewhere because I didn't understand protocols, that mm-hmm. becomes challenging. And that is, well, then I'm going to either avoid traveling mm-hmm. or I want to talk to an expert that can make sure I do it right.
All right. The mask requirement, how does that impact your business and all of us that want to travel?
In the world of travel, right, every positive step is, and I guess positive might be in the eye of the beholder as we talk through mm-hmm. COVID protocols. My look at mask mandates being revoked by the federal ruling on Monday, I look at it this way, is I want to make sure travel is safe and healthy. It starts mm-hmm. there. And so the ruling for me, I think is, I don't think it's going to change dramatically. Somebody's going to say, well, now I'm going to fly because of the mask mandate coming down. I think there's a segment of the mm-hmm. population that maybe mm-hmm. was avoiding that trip because of that. But I think what it does is it's just stepping into the right directions of us being able to live in the world as we know it now with COVID. And hopefully the ruling can stand. It can be looked at from all sides, right? The CDC gets mm-hmm. a chance to really dig into that data, which is what we rely on those agencies to do, is to really understand that science. And so for me as a traveler, I think it's a good thing because they're not telling people you can't wear a mask. Mm-hmm. That's the part that I mm-hmm. would like everybody to keep remembering. Mm-hmm. You can still voluntarily wear a mask mm-hmm. and you're not going to be told you can't wear that mask. So if that's important to you, which it is for a lot of people, I think that's a good thing for us to be moving in that direction, where people don't hopefully get scorned or shamed for wearing a mask if they choose to, for their own safety, their own health, their own reasonings.
I think it might impact folks who wanted to travel on a longer haul. Maybe they were a little hesitant on the trip to Hawaii, 5-6 hours, or up to Alaska, which from Phoenix, I know we did it last year. It's about 5-6 hour flight. Some people would have been hesitant to do the longer haul. And then, of course, international, which we're going to talk about in a few minutes, too. But so I think that could be an encouragement to people who didn't want to wear a mask for a long time.
Yeah, when you're talking 5-hour flight return from New York to Tucson.
Yeah.
You know, and then when you couple that in some of those longer hauls, you're not forgetting the layovers top of that, where the airport requirements were just as stiff in regards to wearing a mask. So now you're talking 5 hours in the plane, adding in layovers and all of that. I do think that that experience for many was claustrophobic, was hot, was difficult. Something that they said was a barrier of entry for me to experience a vacation. Now, that is stepping in the right direction for us for sure.
So I wanted to ask about mask requirements in the cruise industry. Does this change protocols as far as cruising?
Many of the cruising protocols were moving in this direction before the airline ruling came down. And it's not the airline ruling, it's mass transportation and are in addition, right? So rail travel was impacted, subways beyond just the
buses,
airline industry. So the cruising industry was starting to move in a maskless environment. And one of the reasons is because pretty much every cruise requires vaccination. So when you have that layer of protection for all of your constituencies, from crew to passengers, then some of the masking requirements were not as critical because you were dealing with a 100% vaccinated population.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike an airline, you don't know who's vaccinated or not. So really the only layer of protection at that point is the mask. And I think that's why it was maybe so contentious for many people still, even this ruling. I don't think it's I know it's not 100% well received. I actually read an AP report this morning. They ran a poll that said 56% of the people they polled are in favor of keeping the mask mandate. So there still is a large population that sees that as the layer of protection.
Mm-hmm.
The cruising is a little bit different because in addition to the vaccinations, there is many, if not almost all of them, are still requiring a negative COVID test prior to embarkation. And so now you're talking two layers of protection. So the masking really is probably the third most viable option when you're talking vaccination and a test, when you're talking about the three layers. And so that's why cruising is moving more towards what you and I would say pre-pandemic experiences on a ship, where I can move about the public spaces without having to wear a mask.
Now, I want to talk about international travel. Now that the mask apparently has, you know, gone away from airliners, the next big step, and correct me, Ryan, if I'm wrong, but the next big step that will really open the door to getting back to almost a full normal situation will be dropping the international requirement to return to the United States for Americans to take a test the day before or the day of their departure. It holds so many people back wondering, what if?
Yeah, and
what
that is
if the thing. I test positive?
And I think it's become more and more of a challenge for many folks that aren't traveling but have been required to test because they were exposed to somebody. They are asymptomatic and they want to go to even an event or a Broadway show. And so you start thinking of, even domestically, having to test, and so many people have tested positive but have had either mild or no symptoms. That doesn't bother you as much if you're going to miss the theater production.
Right.
If you're not going to be able to go to work because you were exposed to somebody else, okay, I can work remotely. But when you are international and now you're talking about, I can't work remotely when I'm in a foreign country, potentially, depending on your job.
Yes.
I also am incurring additional expenses by having to quarantine internationally. It is monumental regards to a barrier of entry for travel folks to say, what if, and you've mentioned it. I know you have a personal experience with that yourself.
I do, and I will share it in full transparency. I had an opportunity using frequent flyer miles. There was an opportunity to fly. It wouldn't have cost us anything to go to Tahiti instead of Hawaii for our big anniversary trip in May. I actually went ahead and booked it over the weekend. Then, after a completely sleepless night, I was up all night worried about this. I thought, what if I had to have a test to go to French Polynesia, had to have a negative test at the airport right before boarding in San Francisco. What if that comes back positive? The whole trip then is off. But even if I was able to go and continue on with the trip, Ryan, have a nice trip, but then test to come back to the United States, what if it comes back negative? We're talking, imagine the expense, a week, maybe 10 days.
I mean, the Bill Buckmaster show from an over-the-water bungalow
great, but you know, the meter would be certainly running, and right. And I canceled,
right.
And I went back to the original trip to Hawaii.
Yeah, lots of our travelers don't have the time or the resources to be able to incur that type of a setback.
No.
And when you work with Bon Voyage, and this is going to sound salesy, but I'll tell you, you're going to get the full transparency. We're going to tell you all of the good, bad, and ugly about these things so that you know.
Yeah, they're not going to hold back.
Exactly. I would rather have somebody say, you know what, now's not the time for me to go. I'll go when the protocols or when things subside. That is a better client for us.
From my own personal experience, this doesn't mean that this particular trip that I had planned is not still at the top of my bucket list. It's just not the time.
Not the time.
And that is what your advisors, your travel advisors, I'm sure tell some clients.
That's been a lot of the conversation, right? Has been, what if? If you can manage these negative things that could happen on this trip, then it's time to go. If those become deal breakers for you, then let's find a different time or a different destination. And I know that that's how most folks are doing it. They're finding different destinations that fit their needs.
All right, let's pause with our travel talk with Ryan Hansen. More to come right after we take the break.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com. A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Welcome back. It is Buckmaster and Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. They've been a wonderful sponsor of ours. They want you very much to take a trip over to Silver City. And why not? It's about a three-hour drive. You will sample really some, there's some great places to stay and the outdoor activities like hiking in the Gila National Wilderness. It's just a great weekend. We send so many of our listeners over there and they all come back and say the same thing. Bill, I've lived in Tucson all my life or been here for years, didn't know about that area, but I had a great time. Thank you. SouthwestNewMexico.org for more information. We continue talking travel with Ryan Hansen, the Chief Operating Officer and President of Bon Voyage Travel. Rhino, where do people want to go this summer?
Well, that's what we've been looking at very closely. And as you would imagine, most are still shading towards domestic travel because of all of the international questions that we've had. And let's not fool ourselves. There's a crisis in the Ukraine that is impacting European travel, especially the Baltic cruising. Typically, we would be booking like crazy right now, Mediterranean experiences. And there's some people that view that as still too close to the action for them to go. But when you look at the data that's out there right now, about 75% of all travelers that are traveling domestically this summer, they're planning seven-night trips to, number one, Orlando, to the land of Mickey, as you would expect. Seattle and Honolulu. No surprise that Honolulu and the Hawaiian Islands would be on that list. I did find it a little surprising that Seattle is turned into such a great destination, especially in the summertime for people. You've been up there.
Many times.
Been up there a number of times traveling with the basketball team, getting ready to go on a couple of Alaskan cruises. It's a fantastic setting.
Oh, it is. The downtown area is wonderful. Olympic National Park. You did what we did. I think it's I'd lost track of time, COVID time. A summer or so ago, we went up to Mount Rainier and had a cabin up there, and it was wonderful at Mount Rainier National Park.
You've got Pike Place Market. You've got the Chihuly Gardens with the glass-blown art displays, which kind of touches on all of the different cultural immersive experiences. So I say it's surprising to see it on there, but once we start talking about our own experiences, it's no surprise that that those are the top three, at least from a domestic standpoint. Internationally, it's still closer to home week-long trips, and no surprise here, Cancun, Cabo, and Aruba is actually one of the top Caribbean islands in regards to a destination for people to travel to. And again, close to home, easy protocols, relatively speaking,
Aruba
in Mexico.
Aruba, I think I just read, dropped the entry requirement. So folks going down there only have to kind of concentrate on the getting back to
the
U.S.
And that's the real interesting, not to go back to that, but let's go back to that real quick, because you did bring it up, is the United States is actually trailing most of the westernized world in regards to those re-entry or entry requirements. Most of Europe, the Schengen, the 27 EU countries, almost all of them have dropped entry requirements in regards to testing for vaccinated travelers. I would like to make sure that that's the piece there. But so many of the Caribbean islands have dropped protocols across the board, regardless of vaccination status. So it's interesting where the United States falls in their approach to this. And so from my standpoint, still, let's start with safety and health. That is of paramount importance. But let's also look at the rest of the world and how they're treating this.
And if you have not booked a summer vacation, you might be in for a shock when you go to see the airline fares. They are just,
yeah,
they're going up. The fuel costs are up, and demand, let's face it, demand is back to pre-COVID levels domestically. So that translates into higher prices.
That's right. 20% more travelers just about every month when mm-hmm. they start traveling. But, you know, when you and I started this, when I started coming on as a travel contributor, yeah. it was really, let's talk about all the fun parts of travel.
Yeah.
But over the last couple of years, we've had to touch on some challenging issues
sure.
With COVID and other world events. And the next piece is the expense that now mm-hmm. people are seeing. The mm-hmm. expense creep across the board from gasoline prices to bread to your airline ticket. And you will be surprised. So just listeners, if you're looking for any travel that's coming up soon, do not fall off your chair when you mm-hmm. start hearing those pricing mm-hmm. Where, oh my goodness, I can remember when we flew to fill in the blank destination
sure.
for half the cost.
Yeah.
And that's where yeah. it's shifting towards. I'm sure there's a response to the gas and the fuel prices in the airline industry, but it's also supply and demand. And let's get real. The airlines are a business.
Yeah. And shop around for rental cars.
That's and get that done early. There's so many
very
places
early.
That that the rental car industry has also had a resurgence, a little bit of a renaissance. Even with Uber and Lyft being options for lots of people, the domestic traveler being back out on the road, flying somewhere and grabbing that rental car and being on your own with everything that's going on the COVID side, that there's been a renaissance to that piece of travel as well.
You know, I reflect on what you said at our session at the travel show in early April, the session that we did together. You said, be flexible. And just from my own personal experience this past weekend in thinking about where do, you know, do we want to change a particular trip? And I thought, you know, this is just what Ryan was talking about. It's all about flexibility.
Yeah, there's a
right
number
now.
Of travel trends in the industry. And if you recall, my number one trend was pack your flexibility.
Yeah.
If you're going overnight somewhere and you just need a duffel bag or if you need the checked baggage, if you're checking your bag, it's more flexibility, right?
Yeah.
Because of everything that's going on, and some of it directly related to COVID, some of it has nothing to do with COVID. It's just the number of travelers that are back out there. One byproduct of the mask mandate being removed, I hope travelers are nicer. We've seen that, you know, there's been a
we'll
lot of
see their the full face. Maybe we'll
that
see.
Maybe that helps.
Yeah, maybe it does help. Are there any availabilities left for Alaska? You were saying
for
people
sure.
that wanted to go to the Mediterranean or the Baltic area with cruises have had to transition. Maybe they're thinking of Alaska.
We were comparing our bookings of April month to date versus this year versus April of 2019,
mm-hmm.
which would kind of be the last
yeah.
normal April. We're up 50% in our bookings from April of 2019 to April of 2021. So people are booking Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
And specifically in the cruise industry, there has been a lot more deployment of ships to Alaska, meaning there are beds available, but
mm-hmm.
we're booking it at a great pace.
And you can go now through Canada. Well, the stop now, Canada is open.
Canada is open to the cruise industry. They didn't have to have the waiver this year to be able to dock as you would to follow all the government rules. But that's a great part of the Alaska cruise experience is being able to go
mm-hmm.
To Canada. And I love the Vancouver Anchorage run. I think
yeah,
that's
the inside
an underwritten
passage.
Run.
All right, Ryan Hansen, always a pleasure. We'll look forward to your doing this show when I am in, as the previously mentioned, Hawaii, and we'll look forward. You're going to do a full travel hour. That'll be great.
Live from Turtle Bay.
Yeah,
that'll
I'll be calling in from Turtle Bay.
Remotely in. I love it.
Having a great experience over there for sure. BVTravel.com for more. On behalf of Ryan Hansen, Bill Buckmaster, and Tom Fairbanks saying have a great afternoon.